Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm David Tovey, Editor-in-Chief of the Cochrane Library.
In discussions of strategies for reducing the incidence of cervical cancer, those aimed at encouraging sexual behaviours intended to prevent it tend to be overlooked. The April 2011 update of a Cochrane review examines the evidence for these interventions. Lead author Jonathan Shepherd from the Southampton Health Technology Assessment Centre in England describes the findings.
Invasive cervical cancer is one of the most common cancers worldwide, causing considerable morbidity and mortality. Many people think of screening programs or human papillomas virus vaccination as the means for preventing it, and although these are important strategies, primary prevention through sexual risk reduction behaviours may also have a role. Young women are at high risk of sexually transmitted infections, or STIs, including the types of human papillomavirus that cause cervical cancer. Our Cochrane Review identifies the types of behavioural strategy that have been tested and assesses their effectiveness. We found mixed results, with benefits for some of the interventions tested. Our definition of a behavioural intervention was fairly broad. At its most basic, such interventions can provide information about the transmission and prevention of STIs and the promotion of sexual health in general. This might be accompanied by additional components, such as skills development for safer sexual practices, for example, effective communication with partners, counselling and provision of resources, such as free condoms, and services, for example, STI testing or immunisation, as well as changes in policy and legislation. We included 23 randomised trials among women up to 25 years of age. The behavioural interventions generally provided factual information about sexual and reproductive health, as well as teaching the women skills such as assertiveness, sexual negotiation, and correct condom use. A handful of trials supplemented this with provision of resources, including vouchers redeemable for sexual health treatment services. Some took place in a single session, lasting less than a day, whilst others were spread out over weeks or months. Most were delivered in healthcare settings, notably sexual health and family planning clinics. Our results present a mixed picture, and the variety of interventions meant that meta-analysis was not appropriate. It was common for the trials to report statistically significant effects for behavioural outcomes, but this was not universal and varied according to the different types of outcome. Condom use for vaginal intercourse was the most widely reported behavioural outcome measure, and many studies showed a significant effect, notably on measures such as decreasing the number of episodes of unprotected intercourse or increasing the number of episodes of protected intercourse. Few significant effects were reported for encouraging consistent condom use. Few trials measured changes in sexual activity, such as how many of the young women engaged in sex or reduced their number of sexual episodes, or became sexually abstinent, and results were not conclusive. The impact on STI rates was measured in about half of the trials, but most of these were not large enough to detect a significant effect, so we cannot be sure whether or not behavioural interventions can prevent infections. Two trials which had favourable results and were judged to be at the least risk of bias are worth noting in particular. Their interventions were designed to be culturally and gender relevant to young African-American women engaging in STI risk behaviour who were attending sexual health clinics. They were given information on STIs, skills development for effective partner communication, and negotiation of consistent condom use. This was delivered by African-American peer and other educators in a small group format over 2 to 4 weeks with follow-up phone calls over 9 months. Practitioners considering replicating these interventions should consider applicability to their localities and adapt them as necessary to ensure social, demographic and cultural relevance. Our latest results are broadly as expected and are similar to those from other reviews. The effects were generally investigated in the short term, with women in the trials being followed up between 6 and 12 months after the intervention. Therefore, it may be the case that, given adequate time, young women learn to adopt safer sexual behaviours and make these routine in their lives. Conversely, we don't know whether these behaviours, once learned, are maintained in years to come. Future studies should evaluate interventions over longer time periods, using booster interventions as necessary. In general, trials of behavioural interventions to prevent STIs tend to focus on short-term implications of infection, giving less consideration to longer-term outcomes such as pelvic inflammatory disease, infertility, and cervical cancer. Greater awareness of human papillomavirus, its link to cervical cancer, and the importance of sexual risk reduction should be encouraged and should be used in combination with human papillomavirus vaccination programs.
The full Cochrane Review is available at www.thecochranelibrary.com and contains details of the behavioural interventions that Jonathan and his colleagues were able to review.